Hey, happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to Brewpod Between the Lines podcast. This is your host, Caden Adsit, and what a weekend to be a Milwaukee Brewers fan. We've seen a lot of this so far this season and experienced a lot of winning, obviously, so far this year. But how about a sweep against the division rival St. Louis Cardinals in St. Louis? Definitely a team that I don't mind beating. Probably my most disliked team in the major leagues would be the St. Louis Cardinals. So I have absolutely no problem talking about a Brewers sweep over the weekend in St. Louis. And just a lot of good things from this weekend. We saw some really good pitching performances, specifically on Friday and Sunday's game. We did see some really positive things from the bullpen as well in Saturday. So just a lot of good takeaways. We saw the offense break out again on Saturday after they've been struggling a little bit, but they've also just been facing some fantastic pitching going back to that game against Corbin Burns in Baltimore, and then just some other good matchups that they saw against the San Diego Padres kind of carried into this weekend too, and might even carry into this next series against the Pirates that we'll talk to here towards the end. And yeah, obviously really nice to get the sweep, especially against the division rival St. Louis Cardinals on the road. And that pushes the Brewers' record to 10-2 on the road so far this year. Only the one loss against divisional play right now, and the best road record in the MLB with the Red Sox and Cleveland Guardians in second in that category with a 10-3 record on the road. So obviously the Brewers still one game shy of playing as many games as those teams, but as it stands right now, the best road record, which is quite impressive, especially considering how many road games we've played. And after this series against the Pirates, we will have played basically double the amount of road games so far this year that we have home games. I mean, before we're going to be back at home against the Yankees and the Rays, so that'll even out a little bit. Obviously, but so far in the season, definitely a little rough stretch of schedule that the Brewers are just taking care of business right now. But with that, I want to kind of start where we always do, a little update on the roster. We did see right-handed pitcher Tobias Harris optioned back down to AAA Nashville before he was ever able to play in a game with the Brewers. That was due to Trevor Megill getting reactivated from the injured list after being on the injured list for that concussion protocol. So just good to see Trevor Megill back. I fully expect with the numbers that Tobias Myers is posting right now, I think that we're going to see him back, no doubt, at some time this season, especially with the Brewers when they get in some rougher stretches, which could be coming up here with how many games we've got in a row. Definitely could see him come up and replace a hand in the bullpen or in the starting rotation at some point. Then we also ended up seeing DL Hall. He got placed on the 15-day injured list following his start on Saturday. He goes on the injured list with a left knee sprain, and with that, calling up left-handed pitcher Jared Koenig. We'll see him for a second stint this season. He had a couple really nice outings that we talked about earlier in one of the earlier episodes. He's had a couple really nice outings so far this year. And I would kind of not be surprised to see Pat Murphy do something similar here in the next 2-3 days. I think we might see Jared Koenig pitch a couple days or even maybe today and, you know, tomorrow maybe. And then what I could see is that they're going to send him back down and call up, actually, Tobias Myers in a starting role, because Pat Murphy is trying to stick to this six-man rotation as best as he can to the best of his ability with what the schedule allows and obviously what our roster is allowing too. So I can totally see, especially with right now, Wednesday and Thursday's starting pitchers for this week against the Pittsburgh Pirates are still listed as to be determined. So I could definitely see maybe Wednesday, you know, Jared Koenig gets a couple outings today and tomorrow, or we just utilize him once out of the bullpen in a situation, and then we send him back down, call up Tobias Myers, and he gets a spot start in the rotation one of those 2 days. I could totally see that being the case, but we will see what comes of that. But just wanted to give some speculation on what we might see here in the coming days with that. Christian Yelich, he will be eligible to return on April 24th, which will be Wednesday of this series. I haven't really heard too much of an update on how the back's doing. He looks like he's in good spirits out when in the dugout when they've been showing him on camera, but not exactly sure on where he's feeling with the back, if he'll wait till his IL stint is completely over, or if he'll come back as soon as that eligibility returns, which will definitely be nice to get him back in the lineup. But obviously, Brewers aren't having much of a tough time at this point winning without him, which is excellent considering that shows that our roster has some really good depth. So some really good things from that standpoint as well. And so yeah, moving on from that, just kind of an overview like I was talking about. Really good pitching, especially in the bullpen in this series. Second shutout in four games. Realistically, probably should have been three shutouts in four games after Brewers were down to two outs in the ninth inning on that Friday game and ended up surrendering a run and sending the game into extra innings. But nonetheless, they still won that game. So good defense, no errors from this weekend. Good to see that bounce back after a couple rough games against the Padres there. More to what we're used to and hoping from this defense and this team. And then, like I said, just some great pitching that we'll kind of dive into the numbers here as we get into the in-game analysis. So with that being said, game one, Friday for the Brewers. We saw Freddy Peralta get his fourth start of the season. And the Brewers still have yet now to lose a game in which Freddy Peralta has pitched. They have won all four games. Freddy Peralta, another excellent start in this one. He ends up getting a no decision. He goes six innings pitch. Tallies seven strikeouts on four hits and two walks with no runs allowed. So that brings his ERA down to a 1.9. I think I was looking last night. He's somewhere up in the top 15 right now for ERA in the major leagues. Not anything that we haven't come to expect from Freddy Peralta. He's been really actually dialing up the velocity here in the last couple starts. He's been starting to hit 97, 98. And sitting more around 95, 96 with the velocity. Especially a little surprising after the first start against the New York Mets. He was kind of hovering around that 93, 94 range. So getting that uptick in velocity is definitely playing a big role for him. And then his off-speed pitches have just been nasty coming out of the hand. I mean, the slider, working it into lefties, working it away from righties. The changeup to lefties is kind of an equalizing pitch that he's developed that we've seen him use in the last couple seasons, but it seems like it just keeps getting better and better as a secondary pitch for Freddy Peralta, especially against lefties. And he's even been mixing it in against righties a little bit, and that's kind of, there were a couple of bats, I think, with Goldschmidt and Arenado where he both threw them changeups, and they were just kind of shaking their heads like, I can't believe he just threw that pitch. I think it's for right-handed hitters against Peralta. They kind of eliminate that pitch, but if he can start using that the way he has so far against right-handed batters, watch out. I mean, obviously his numbers are great thus far, but if he's able to mix that in at the rate and success rate that he's doing so far this season, look out if you're facing up against him. So good to see that from our ace on the mound. And got to give some credit to Kyle Gibson for the Cardinals here in this game. He goes six innings pitched, three hits on four walks, three strikeouts, and one earned run for him. I think big issue for him was the walks in this game, but he was clearly able to go six innings pitched. He only ended up giving up three hits and three Ks. Strikeouts aren't really his game anyways. He's more of a long inning guy, more of a pitch to contact type guy, and that was exactly what we saw from him. So credit to him for an excellent game. And if it wasn't for William Contreras for the Brewers, I don't think the Brewers' offense, I don't think we would have tallied any runs in this game. Responsible for both runs, he goes 2-for-5 with two RBIs. Not a ton more, unfortunately, to talk about the offense in this one. Just some really good pitching on both sides. But William Contreras does it once again, proving more and more every day that he is the backbone of this Milwaukee Brewers offense. He has a big two-out run-scoring double in the second inning to get us started, and then had the huge go-ahead two-out RBI single in the 10th inning that eventually sealed the victory for the Milwaukee Brewers. So yeah, like I said, just not a ton of offense in this game, but once again, in a game where a majority of the offense is struggling, William Contreras comes through, has some excellent at-bats, and overall gets us the victory in this game in the 10th inning. So that was really exciting to see. Nerve-wracking game, as it always seems to be with this team. And we had thought that we might have another 1-0 victory, and realistically probably should have been. We had Trevor McGill. We saw him in his return. He looked pretty good. Pat Murphy opted to let him go 2 innings to try and finish out this game, and he got down to 2 outs in the 9th inning, had some trouble, walked a batter, gave up a hit, and then we saw Yoel Piamps come in, and I think Pat Murphy admittedly said this in his post-game conference. I think he didn't quite give him enough time to warm up in the bullpen. Piamps didn't quite look like he had brought it up to his level yet. I don't think he had quite enough time to warm up there in the pen. Took him a couple batters to lock in, which eventually surrendered a run. He hit one batter for the Cardinals and then walked the next one in that at that point had tied the game. So a little bit of a struggle from that standpoint, but I think, like I said, I think Pat Murphy kind of admittedly realized that he brought in Piamps a little bit too early, and probably some of the reason why that happened. I think it might have been better to just bring in Yoel Piamps in the 9th inning regardless and just let him start fresh. I think a lot of times mentally that is what a closer is looking for. They don't want to come in when there's already guys on base. I think it would have been smart in this game for Pat Murphy to maybe just give him the whole inning. But then again, I understand the reasoning because they were trying to give Yoel Piamps a day off, which when Trevor McGill started to struggle, then he ended up having to throw anyways and come in, but ended up being kind of a moot point there. I mean, Brewers got the victory. Hobie Milner comes in the 10th inning. He locks down the game for his first career save. He pitched an excellent 10th inning, by the way. He recorded a couple of strikeouts looking to left-handed hitters. Got some soft contact in this one. And he was just painting the corners with a lot of his pitches. He had a really good sinker working. He had some really nice curveballs that he threw. Got one of the batters looking on a changeup as well. So all of his pitches were working. And after a little bit of a struggle for him in spring training, it looks like we're seeing his numbers come back to where we're used to and do what he's been doing in the bullpen for the last year and a half for the Milwaukee Brewers. So really good to see him come out and lock down this game for us in a 2-1 victory. Moving on to game two, not quite as good of a pitching performance here in this one. Brewers end up winning this game 12-5, but we saw DL Hall struggle a little bit again in this one. He ends up going 3 2/3 innings, pitched on 3 strikeouts, 5 walks, 5 hits, and 4 earned runs. So a little bit of a struggle, obviously, from this standpoint from DL Hall, trying to kind of find the mix between his pitches. The velocity is a tick down from when he was pitching in the Orioles bullpen last season, sitting more around 92, 93, 94. So I think he's having a little bit of trouble beating these hitters with the fastball. And, you know, so the hitters don't necessarily, you know, they're able to sit on the fastball, but also, you know, when he's hanging the slider and the changeup down the middle of the plate, it's his pitching location right now just isn't quite there. Obviously, in the second inning and on, it's hard to know where he was at with that, you know, considering he had a knee sprain the rest of the game. He developed that in the second inning where he tried to make a play on a bunt, kind of rushed the throw to first and evidently ended up spraining his knee. So hard to say from there how he was feeling exactly on the mound, but hopefully, and I think it's still early in the season for him. Fans have to realize, and we have to realize, that he is still moving into a new position for him. He was a bullpen guy out of the Orioles bullpen last year, a reliever for them. So he's still making an adjustment, moving into the starting pitching role. It's a completely different, you know, feeling out there on the mound, being the starting pitcher, knowing that you're trying to go 5-6 innings every game. And along with that, we do have to consider that this trade, this Corbin Burnes trade, was quite late in the offseason. This happened at the beginning of February. So the Brewers, you know, management and staff didn't have the time to develop him and work with him in the starting rotation position as much as they would have liked to be able to do in converting him to that starting pitching role in the offseason. So I definitely do think he's going to play a major role in the starting rotation at some point this year. I think he's going to bounce back. I think he's got some things to work on, and we might even see, I could understand if he has a couple more struggles following the injured list, having some AAA stints maybe. Maybe that would help him a little bit, just feel more comfortable and not feel like he's out on an island alone out there on the mound. So I think maybe this is an option and something we might see. But I really do think he's going to play a big role. He showed in spring training that he's got the stuff to be a really good starter in this league. He's still young, still developing. So from my standpoint, just give him time. Don't get too upset at him quite yet. And I think we'll see him hopefully turn it around here at some point. But the big thing from this game, the offense breaks out once again. Record season high for 18 hits this season for the Milwaukee Brewers. We saw every single player in the lineup record a base knock in this one, at least one. And just some big things in this game offensively. We saw the scoring get opened with a two-run home run from Rhys Hoskins. So that was his fourth of the season. D.L. Hall ended up surrendering a couple runs. Brewers were down early, down 4-2 specifically in the fourth inning. And then the Brewers kind of got to Miles Michaelis. Bryce Terang hits a two-run home run in the fourth. That ties it. And Jackson Churio, he goes back-to-back with his fourth home run of the season. And following this point, similar to what we saw for the last D.L. Hall start against the Baltimore Orioles, once the Brewers got the lead in the fourth, fifth inning, they never looked back. They ended up adding four runs in the sixth inning. We saw RBI hits from Contreras, Adames, and Rhys Hoskins once again. So those run producers in that run-producing role doing their job, getting those runs in and adding some much-needed insurance in this one. And then we can't overlook the bullpen in this game. We saw some fantastic outings from Bryce Wilson. He goes 1 1/3 scoreless innings. He ends up getting credited with the victory in this one. We saw another scoreless outing from Hobie Milner, scoreless outing from Abner Uribe, and then finished this one off in the ninth inning by Thiago Vieira, who ended up surrendering one earned run, but overall looked pretty solid as well in the ninth inning. So a lot of good things. Brewers get this victory 12-5, which at that point had secured the series victory, which from my standpoint, and I think many other Brewers fans' standpoints, we would have been more than satisfied with just the series victory on the road against the Cardinals. But why not sweep them? Brewers go into Sunday. They win this game 2-0. Another great start from Colin Ray. He goes 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. And we did see a little bit of the same thing. Got into some trouble early on in the first couple innings. But in this one, this time, he did a really nice job wiggling himself out of trouble. And thank goodness he did, because Sonny Gray looked absolutely dominant on the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals. I know I had talked in the last episode, he still had yet to surrender a run on the season. He ends up going 6 1/3 innings, 12 strikeouts for Sonny Gray. So I've got to tip your cap to him. Another excellent start for the Cardinals. And he's fitting in nicely to that rotation in the ace position for that rotation. And Owen Miller finally got to him in the seventh inning. He collects his first hit of the season in the major leagues for the Brewers with a big two-run single to score Blake Perkins and Terang. And I think it seems like every time Brewers are scoring, Blake Perkins and Bryce Terang seem to be right in the middle of it, whether they're actually driving in the runs or they're the guys coming in. So can't give, you know, enough credit to these guys for what they've been able to do towards the bottom of the lineup so far this season. And if they can continue to do this, Obviously, we're seeing the outcomes right now with the Brewers' record at 14-6. But I don't see if we can get the production that we're getting from the bottom of the order and the table setters for, you know, William Contreras, Willy Adames, who's hitting very well, Rhys Hoskins, who's starting to heat up a little bit. Our offense, we're not going to have any problem scoring runs, and we really haven't. We've had a couple games in this stretch where we've seen some smaller samples as far as hits goes, but that's also credit to this pitching that we've been facing here with guys like Sonny Gray, Kyle Gibson, going back to that San Diego series, and even facing Corbin Burnes in that Baltimore series. So you can't really discredit the offense for not mustering too many hits off of those guys, as they typically don't give up many hits. But the Brewers are still managing to get runs and still getting the win, which is the big thing in this one as well. Once again, can't talk about this guy enough either. Brian Hudson, the lefty out of the Brewers bullpen. He goes 2 1/3 innings, 7 batters faced, and retires all 7 batters out of the bullpen. He ends up getting credited with the victory in this one. We saw Peguero come in the 8th inning after Brian Hudson had recorded that first out in the 8th. He ends up getting himself into a little bit of trouble, but he's able to wiggle himself out of it, surrendering no runs. And then a perfect 9th inning from Yoel Piamps to collect his 3rd save of the year. So yeah, just an amazing weekend for the Milwaukee Brewers against the Cardinals. Like I said, they move their record to 14-6 and actually now put themselves in a 2.5 game lead early in the season here in the NL Central. So good to see the team start to wiggle a little bit of room in the standings for the NL Central and move a little bit ahead in the division lead right now. So just nice to see that from a fan standpoint. And yeah, so I wanted to kind of talk about a couple things here before we wrap up. I really want to give credit to Blake Perkins so far in the season. I know that I've talked about him, and not only on the offensive side is he such an outstanding player, but the work that he is putting in the outfield, it is incredible. We saw a home run robbery in the first inning, which honestly kind of calmed down Colin Rea. He had runners on first and second, nobody out, and Lars Nootbaar hit a ball, a screamer to center field, which I was almost certain that it was a home run. Blake Perkins tracked it all the way, got the glove over the wall, and took this one back, which ended up allowing Colin Rea to wiggle out of this inning with no runs allowed. And he has just played some fantastic center field. He gets excellent jumps on the ball coming off the bat. He makes it look so easy. He's got some really good speed, and he just kind of glides through the outfield there. He really makes it look easy, and I want to give credit to him making the most of what he's doing, filling the role for Christian Yelich right now. And once Christian Yelich comes back, I don't know how you keep this guy out of the lineup. He is putting together outstanding numbers offensively that we talked about a little bit last episode, continues that here this series, and he continues the hot defense. And like I said, I don't see why Pat Murphy would want to take this guy out of the lineup. And frankly, I don't think he should. He's just been excellent, been doing some really good things both offensively and defensively. So just a little bit of everything that you want to see out of a player in this one. A couple other things I wanted to talk about. One little thing for concern for me, I don't really have any numbers to back this up. I was trying to do a lot of research last night, wasn't able to really find. Apparently, it's really difficult. If any of you guys know, please let me know. It is very difficult to find the differential between a strikeout looking and a strikeout swinging for a specific player. I've kind of noticed this watching games for Sal Frelick. I think it's been a little place of concern, I think. He's been striking out looking quite often, especially in that leadoff role. This is not something that we want to see. Like I said, I don't have numbers to back this up exactly. I know he's got 19 strikeouts so far this year, which is already over half of what he amounted in the entire 80-plus games or so last season. So that's definitely a little bit concerning as well, especially out of a leadoff role. And it is still early in the season. He's still got some pretty solid numbers offensively, but I would just like to see him, you know, get the bat off the shoulder in that leadoff role specifically. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there. Like I said, unfortunately, I tried last night. I could not find any numbers to back this up, but I know that he's had quite a few at-bats in these strikeouts. I would guess almost half of them have been strikeouts looking so far this year. So just wanted to kind of brush up on that topic a little bit and throw that out there. One other thing, I did do some research on this last night, did some diving numbers into, because this is one thing that I've realized so far. I wanted to talk about Willy Adames' strikeout numbers. This has so far this season been a really good improvement for him, and I think this is why right now he's still hitting over 300. A lot of people I've seen on some of the fan base groups have been dissing Adames, and I think he just kind of gets a bad rap after having a couple of down seasons, or specifically a down season last year. But you look at this guy's numbers, and there is no reason that he shouldn't be hitting in the 3 or 4 hole for the Brewers right now. He's getting on base at a high rate. He's got a batting average still sitting over 300. And looking into these numbers here so I can give you some more specifics, I was specifically looking at strikeout percentage by season. So this just looks at number of strikeouts per plate appearance in a season for a batter. Obviously, this year right now is a small sample size, but nearing almost 100 bats so far this season is typically a pretty good number to get, you know, a rough estimation or assumption of what this player is going to do the rest of the year. So 2018, he had a 29.4% strikeout rate. 2019, 26.2%. 2020, 36.1%. Going to 2021, 28.1%. 22, 26.9%. And then last year, he was a 25.9% strikeout rate. And the league average in 2023 was 22.7%. This number doesn't typically vary too much, maybe a couple percentage points, 2 or 3 here or there. But just coming back down to this year now, he is at an 18.6% strikeout rate so far this season. So talk about a great improvement for him. He's sitting below the league average right now. And, you know, I know some of these numbers are from the Tampa Bay Rays in a couple of these seasons, 2018, 19, and part of, or 2020, and then part of 2021. But, I mean, especially 2020, 36.1% strikeout rate. And I know part of this, for him, he said was his issue with seeing the ball and visualizing it in Tropicana Field in Tampa. But when you have a strikeout rate that's dropping almost 7 or 8% from the year prior, this is an excellent improvement for Willy Adames. And this is exactly why we're seeing the output that he's getting, because he's, even if he's not getting the best exit velocity on some of these balls, he's putting the bat on the ball, and only good things happen when you're able to put the ball in play, and the numbers are showing it so far this season. And then along with this, currently he has an 11.6 walk rate right now, which is also the highest in his career. So I really think we're seeing Adames in one of his best forms so far in his career. You would think he's kind of turning into this veteran guy. He's been in the season long enough. He obviously has always had the energy that is amazing to have in the dugout. But if he's able to continue this offensive rate that he's putting on so far this year, I don't care what, you know, fan bases are dissing him or whatever. The numbers say it, and he's putting together a really solid season so far this year. And just wanted to touch up on that. So moving on from that, we'll talk about just quickly here some of the matchups here for this week. Brewers will be starting a 4-game set against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and will continue on the road in Pittsburgh. Later today, we will see Joe Ross. He'll look to bounce back against Jared Jones, 22-year-old right-handed pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's definitely part of this pesky pitching rotation for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's already recorded 32 strikeouts in 4 starts, so going to be important, hopefully, for the Brewers' offense to get to him early, maybe before he settles in, and just put some of the good at-bats that we've seen from our offensive guys so far this season. Moving on to Tuesday, We'll see a couple of lefties on the mound. We have Wade Miley going up against left-handed pitcher Bailey Falter for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then moving on to what I said, Wednesday and Thursday, right now the Brewers do not have any pitchers assigned for those days. Like I said, I think we could potentially see Tobias Myers called up and pitch in one of these games. We could see, if Bryce Wilson gets a couple days rest here, we could see him potentially start and have kind of another bullpen day for the Brewers pitching staff once again on one of these days. So we'll see. But I think it's very possible to see Bryce Wilson go Wednesday, see Freddy Peralta maybe go Thursday, or obviously now somebody's going to have to replace DL Hall for at least two or three starts in the pitching rotation. So I think it's pretty safe to assume we'll see Tobias Myers and potentially maybe Aaron Ashby get called back up, or just another arm be thrown in there for a spot start or a couple spot starts in the pitching rotation here in the next couple weeks. But we will hopefully see the Brewers put together some good games against this division rival Pittsburgh Pirates and their offense as well. They've got some really big names on the lineup. Be facing Rowdy Tellez for the first time since his tenure as a Milwaukee Brewer. Go up against the former Brewer Andrew McCutchen. Congratulations to him. He most recently in this last week hit his 300th career home run. So congrats to him on that amazing career milestone. They've also got Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, Ke'Bryan Hayes. Brian Reynolds, like I said, who they just signed to that long-term contract. And then the young guys in O'Neill Cruz and Ke'Bryan Hayes kind of carrying some of the offense. And a lot of other guys that we could talk about as well. And they've just got, it's going to be a fun series. A lot of young talent on both sides in this series. And it's always exciting to see the young guys flash the leather and put some good bats on the ball, especially with the exit velocity that O'Neill Cruz can produce and guys like William Contreras and other Brewers that we've already talked about. So going to be a fun series overall that I'm looking forward to some of these matchups. So with that being said, like you guys know, BrewPod Between the Lines podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and other mainstream podcast sites. So feel free to listen to this from wherever it is you may want. I can always be reached on social media using @brew_pod on Twitter or by searching BrewPod Between the Lines podcast on Facebook or Instagram. Like I said, hopefully Brewers are able to continue the hot streak that they're on right now. After losing 3 in a row, have now won 4 in a row. So a really nice little flip to the script for them. And hopefully we're able to collect some more wins and overall just collect another series victory and keep that trend going to start this season. So with that being said, we will see you next time. Talk to you soon. And of course, go Brewers!